إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we'll be looking at another topic from the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Sheikh Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. The topic is Kitab al-Buyur, the book of Al-Buyur. Al-Buyur is an Arabic word which is the plural of the word Al-Bay. The word Al-Bay is gotten from the word Al-Ba'u. It's gotten from the word Al-Ba'. And Al-Ba'u means the distance between the two palms. The word Al-Ba'u is the origin of the word Al-Bay. Al-Bay is called Al-Bay because the two persons involved in Al-Bay, the both stretch out their hand. This stretches his hand out in order to conclude the transaction or by giving, and the other also stretches out his hand in order to take. So they both do that. So, and that is why it is called Al-Bay, and the plural is Al-Bayru. Al-Bay is halal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible, has made lawful al-bay, that is the exchange of items. Either you are exchanging one item for another item, other than cash, other than currency, or you are exchanging a currency with another item, or you are exchanging currency with currency. When you exchange currency with currency, this is called musarafa. It is part of bay. It is part of al-bay. But this type of bay is called al-musarafa because we're exchanging a currency with another currency. So when you say you exchange an item that is not currency with a currency, so when we talk about al-bay, this is what comes to mind. But the exchange of currency with currency is also al-bay, which is called al-musarafa. So when you exchange other than currency with other than currency, this is also what is also al-bay, and this is what they refer to as trade by barter in the past. That people exchange some items with other items. So they do this in the past, and it is also considered as a part and parcel of al-bay'. So what you are trying to say in essence is that bay' comes in different way. What they call bay' comes in different ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made lawful al-bay' wa harrama al-riba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden riba. Riba, as we shall explain inshaAllah, is something that some people deal in, which they consider to be also bay'. And that's why these people say there is no difference between a riba and al-bay. They consider them to be the same. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiated between the two? Allah says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made lawful al-bay and he forbade riba. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala titled it Kitab al-Bay, the book of al-Bay, of Kitab al-Bay, the book of al-Bay. The Shaykh starts by mentioning Shurut al-Bay, the condition for the validity of the financial transaction, the financial dealings, or the buying and selling, the conditions, shurut al-bay. When you say shurut al-bay, these are the conditions put down by the shari that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put down. This is different from ash-shurutu fil-bay. Ash-shurutu fil-bay, these are conditions stipulated by the parties involved in the transaction. Take for instance, I'm buying this thing from you, I'm buying it from you, but you are going to take it to my house, for instance, you are going to deliver it to my house. Or I'm selling this thing to you, however, you are going to allow me to use it for a week more. This is a condition stipulated by one of the two parties. If this condition is agreed to by the other party, it goes. So this they call what ash-shartu fil bay', the condition stipulated by one of the parties involved, and the other party agrees to it. This, inshallah, we are still going to talk about it. But the one the author is starting with here is what he calls ash-shurutu, or what he calls shurutul bay', shurutu al-bay', that is the conditions of transaction. Any financial transaction must have these conditions. الأصل فيه الحل قال تعالى وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. The basis in البيع is الحل, is permissibility, is that it is lawful, and the evidence brought by the Shaykh is وحل الله البيع. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made lawful البيع. Now, when we talk about al-bay', al-bay' is different from al-ibadat, that is, it doesn't fall under al-ibadat directly. It falls under what they call al-mu'amalat, that is, the dealings that have to do with other people, other creatures. It falls under al-mu'amalat, not under al-ibadat directly. So scholars, they will tell us that al-mu'amalat, generally speaking, the basis is permissibility, not restricted to al-bay', only financial transaction. When we talk about al-mu'amalat generally, that is the interpersonal dealings, the basis is permissibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. It is He who has created for you all that is on the surface of the earth. So, and that's why scholars who say at times, al-aslu fil ashiyai al-ibaha, the basis in things generally is permissibility. Illa linas, except if we have a text in the Quran or the Sunnah or Ijma' that says what? This is prohibited. So al-aslu fil ashiya, the basis in things generally is al-ibaha, is permissibility. Al-aslu fil mu'amalat al-hillu, the basis in dealings and interpersonal dealings is what? Is al-hillu, is permissibility. Al-aslu fil bayu al-hillu, the basis in transaction and financial transactions and buying and selling is what? Is al-hill, is permissibility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اتُّرِدْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Allah has explained in details what is forbade unto you, إِلَّا مَا اتُّرِدْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ, except what you are pushed to do by necessity, by dharura. So all these are texts that buttress the aforementioned principles, al-aslu fi al-ashiya al-ibaha, the basis in things is permissibility, al-aslu fi al-mu'amalat al-hillu, the basis in dealings generally is al-hillu, permissibility, al-aslu fi al-buyu al-hill, the basis in financial transaction is al-hill. So this evidences quoted from the Quran buttress these principles. And that is why the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, al-aslu fi al-hillu, the basis in buying and selling is permissibility. Qala ta'ala, wa ahalla Allahu al-bay'a, and Allah made lawful al-bay'a, buying and selling. وحرم الربا, and he forbade riba. فجميع الأحيان من أقار وحيوان وأثاث وغيرها يجوز إيقاع العقود عليها إذا تمت شروط البيع. نعم. Before we go to the explanation of this, the other principle is الأصل في العبادات المنعو. The basis in acts of worship is al-man'u, is prohibition. Nobody has the right to introduce any act of worship except there is a text in the Quran or Sunnah that establishes this. If there is no text that establishes this, then the person is said to be what? To be introducing something in the deen. And this is called bid'ah. And there are many texts that prohibit this. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يُعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَصِرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives amongst you shall see disagreement, a lot of disagreement. فَعَلَيْكُمْ سُنَّةِ, stick to my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا لِلنَّوَاجِبِ. Stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ, bite it with your molar teeth. Bite it with your molar teeth. وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا and hold on tenaciously to it. This tells us that it is not permissible to introduce anything as far as what the ibadah is concerned. As far as ibadat are concerned, nobody has the right to introduce any ibadah. And the ibadah that are already existing, nobody has the right to introduce the hour or the number or the time to do a particular ibadah, to say, okay, particular ibadah should be done at a particular time other than the time that the Shari has left, or the number that the Shari has watched, has put down, and so on and so forth. With this, you have to avoid bid'ah that is idafiyah and the bid'ah haqiqiyah, the one that has to do with how, when to do something that has been watched, established in the deen, an ibadah that has been established. The hour and the when and the number, this is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So scholars will tell us, when somebody says he is introducing something in deen, and you tell the person that you can't do that, and the person says, where is the evidence that says I cannot introduce this in the deen? Bring the evidence. We have good intention. This that you have introduced is to promote the deen. This nafila that you have introduced is to endear Islam to people. Where is the evidence that says I cannot do this or I cannot introduce it? Scholars say, he is the one to bring the evidence, because al-asru fil ibadat al-man'u, the basis in ibadat is prohibition, illa linafs, unless there is a text. So he is the one to give us the evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah that says he should do what he has introduced, or he has a right to introduce. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءَ شَرَعُوا لَوْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنِ بِهِ اللَّهُ. Do they have partners, those that they've taken as partners, that will be legislating for them as part and parcel of the deen, مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنِ بِهِ اللَّهُ, what Allah hasn't sanctioned. On the other hand, if somebody is engaging in a particular act or in an act, be it buying and selling, and somebody says, no, this is haram, we ask the person, aina dalil ala hurmati, where is the evidence that says this act is haram? Where is the evidence that says this particular transaction, I can't do it, it is haram for me to do it? He is the one that will give us the evidence. Is the one that will give us the evidence that one cannot do a particular act that is not ibadah directly. The connection of his being ibadah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe has prohibited a thing of the mu'amalat, of the dealings, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed it. So, and the basis is that Allah has allowed most of these things. So the one who says we cannot engage in a particular transaction will have to bring up the evidence, will have to come up with the evidence that says a particular transaction is haram. So this is the reason why it is important to know this. When one knows these principles, al-aslu fil ibadat al-man'i, the basis in acts of ibadah is prohibition, illa linas, except you see a text that says we should do each. Wal aslu fil mu'amalati al hallu illa linas, the basis in transactions, in dealings, is permissibility, except there is a text that says we cannot do each. If one knows these principles, one will be able to protect one's religion. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, فَجَمِيعُ الْأَعْيَانِ, he said, all items, مِنْ عَقَارٍ, be the estates, وَحَيَوَانٍ, anima, وَأَثَاثٍ, furniture, وَغَيْرِهَا, and other than this, يَجُوزُ إِيقَاعُ الْعُقُودِ عَلَيْهَا, one can have a contract. One can what? Have a contract on them. إِذَا تَمَّتْ شُرُوطُ الْبِعِ, if the conditions of buying and selling are fulfilled. If the conditions of buying and selling are fulfilled. So somebody has an estate, or he has an anima, he has a furniture, he has an item, and he wants to exchange this item with another item, or he wants to exchange this item with currency. So we say such is permissible. The person can do that. He can exchange this. Whether, as we have said, exchange an item with an item which is called al-muqayyada, that is trade by barter, or exchange an item with currency, which is what we readily understand as bill, or exchange a currency with currency, which is what called musarafa, which is what a part of what of bill as well. So he said, the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala said, يَجُوزُ إِيقَاعُ الْعُقُودِ عَلَيْهَا, it is permissible to have a contract on this. إِذَا تَمَّ شُرُوطُ الْبِعِ, if the conditions of the buying and selling are fulfilled. The Shaykh says, وَمِنْ عَظَمِ الشُّرُوطِ, one of the greatest, or part of the greatest conditions, is al-ridha, is for both parties to be pleased with the transaction that they are entering into, that they are agreeing on. The contract that they are agreeing on is for both parties to be pleased with that. لِكَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ, unless, if it is tijara, a kind of buying, selling, أَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ, that comes as a result of what? The pleasure of both of you, that is an agreement between both of you are pleased with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِنْكُمْ, who you believe, don't eat your wealth amongst you unjustly, unless it is something that you are pleased with. So al-ridha bayna al-tarafain, the two parties involved in a transaction, in a financial dealing, must be pleased with it. In addition to other conditions fulfilled, that is the conditions that is some of the prohibited things have been avoided. So one of the conditions to make that thing valid is for both parties involved to be pleased with. Now, in a situation, or in some situations, the pleasure, so to say, of one of the party involved, or a party, may not be necessary. Take, for instance, somebody who is indebted to a person and is unable to pay the money, and they have to sell his property in order to offset his debt. In this case, his consent, his pleasure is not required. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here is the general ruling, the general condition, that you can't take something from somebody forcefully. What you are buying from somebody must be something that the owner is pleased to sell. There is consent of the person who owns the property. So you can't just take somebody's property and sell it. So the person that owns that property must be pleased, must have his consent. Likewise, one who is buying the property must also be pleased to buy. You don't force him to buy. But in some situations, like you have mentioned, so somebody who is owing a person and the person refuses to pay, so, or the person has gone bankrupt and is indebted to people, so and he has a property that can be sold in order to offset his debt, that is debt, then in this case, this may be sold even without his consent. So these, the authorities may resort to something of this. But it should be at the back of our minds that al-ridha bayn al-tarafayn, consent of the two parties involved, is something that is a condition. Why Allah says, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ. Do not devour your wealth amongst you unjustly, unless if it is what tijaratan antaradim. It should be tijara. It should be a merchandise, buying and selling between you antaradim, with whom you are consent. So this is number one condition. The second condition, وَأَلَّا يَكُونَ فِي أَغَرَرٌ وَجَهَالَةٌ لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَى عَنْ بَيْءِ غَرَرٌ. There shouldn't be gharar in it. There shouldn't be gharar. So what is gharar? Gharar is uncertainty, or it's a serious risk, and watch, jahala. So uncertainty shouldn't be in whatever you want to sell. So this has to do with what? With the commodity that you are buying. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha bi'l gharar, forbid the selling of gharar. What is gharar? As we said, this is serious risk or uncertainty. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid this. فَيَدْخُلْ فِيهِ. Falling under this is بَيْءُ الْآبِكِ وَالشَّارِجِ. Somebody who has a slave, and the slave has run away. Selling a runaway slave to another person is what is bay'u gharar, because you cannot guarantee handling the slave to the person that you have sold him to. So this is bay'u gharar. There is uncertainty, there is serious risk in that. Yes, in every transaction, in any financial dealing, there is something of risk in it. But the risk should be what? Gharar yaseer. Shouldn't be what? Gharar kaseer. Much gharar. So the uncertainty should be little, as we have in some items. Take for instance, when somebody sells to you a house, for instance, a building, you can't really tell how strong the foundation is. That is, by mere looking at it, or you buy, for instance, let's say an egg, for instance, you can't really tell about the content. This because it's yashuku. It's something that is difficult. So that it is difficult, but it's something that is yesir, little, this can be overlooked. But if the zarar is much, like selling a runaway slave, or selling a runaway animal, so this is something that is not okay. So, وَأَنْ يَقُولَ بِعْتُكَ إِحْدَى السِّلْعَتَيْنِ. Another example of gharar is for somebody to say بِعْتُكَ إِحْدَى السِّلْعَتَيْنِ, I said to you one of the two commodities. One of the two commodities. Which one did you sell? That is gharar. You have to make, you have to point at the one that you sold. Mention the one that you have sold. But for you to say, I sell to you one of the two commodities, or one of the two items, there is gharar in this. There is uncertainty and there is serious risk in it. أو بمقدار ما تبلغ الحصاة من الأرض ونحوه. Another example is for somebody to say, okay, I want to sell this, I want to sell to you a plot of land. And this plot of land is going to be measured by how far your, the stone you throw can go. So wherever your stone reaches, this is where I've sold to you. So the person may be able to throw the stone to a very far distance, and he may not be able to do that. So this, that is what, there is gharar in it as well. أو ما تحمل أمته أو شجرته. Or for somebody to say that whatever is produced by this tree, for instance, this tree in my garden, so whatever the tree produces, I sell it to you. The tree may produce something good, it may not be able to produce well, maybe for one reason or the other. And since you have concluded the transaction with the person, so this is what is serious risk. أو ما في بطن الحامل. Or for somebody to say, I sell to you what is in the womb of this animal. What is in the womb of the animal? What is in the womb of the animal may come alive, may come out alive, and may not come out alive. Even if it comes out alive, may die instantly. So something that should make you fall into serious regret, this is called gharar. And that is why gambling is forbidden, because gambling falls under gharar. Mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسُرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسُ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ. Shaitan wants to put or create amongst you al-adawata wal-baghda fil-khamri wal-maysir, enmity and hatred fil-khamri wal-maysir, in intoxicants wal-maysir and maysir. So maysir is gambling. Though some scholars have said that Maisir has a wider meaning than that. That is anything that will turn you away from the deen of Allah, from the ibadah, is Maisir. Whether it involves what? It involves competition or not. Whether it involves competition or not. And that's why some of the games, like chess and the likes, like Ludo, whether you pay, you put bets on it or not. So scholars consider it to be part of Maisir because you waste your time and you can spend a lot of time doing these things, neglecting the prayer time, because they are not sports that weakens one. You can spend a lot of time in them without remembering that you have to do some ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we are still coming to that. But it is gharar. So it is gharar. Because something that involves uncertainty and serious risk. So the one that is putting bets on something, so it is certain that one of them is going to lose, but who is going to lose is what they don't know. So serious a risk and uncertainty. So who is going to lose? Who is going to be the loser? So and once it is certain that somebody must lose for the other to win, this is called what? Gambling. So the Sheikh says, وَسَعَوْنْ كَانَ الْغَرَمْ فِي الثَّمَنْ أَوِ الْمُثَمَّنْ. Whether the gharar, the risk or the uncertainty has to do with the thaman, the price, or the commodity. So there shouldn't be what gharar, unless if this gharar is something that is yasir, very little, which most transactions can hardly be free from. There will be some risk when you are doing some things. You want to buy, want to sell, there will be risk. When you are going into a business, you have to risk your money too. So, but these are what? Gararun yasir. But if the gharar is what is much, then it becomes what? It becomes haram. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an bayi al-gharar. He forbade bayi al-gharar. And examples are what the author has brought. So for somebody to say, I'm selling to you what is in the womb of this animal. What is in the womb of the animal? We don't know. The animal may come out, that is the, what is in the womb may come out alive and may come out dead. So this is serious risk. This is serious risk. So when somebody says to you that I'm selling to you the fish in the river, or in the fish in the pond, so to say, which may not be able to catch. Or somebody says, I'm selling to you the bird that is flying in the sky, may not be able to catch it. I'm selling to you my runaway slave, may not be able to bring him back. I'm selling to you my runaway animal, may not be able to get it. And he has collected money from you. So this will result into what? Al-adawa al-baghdha. Into fighting, into quarreling, into enmity. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُوكِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ الْبَغَضَ فِي الْخَمْرِ. Shaitan wants to create enmity and hatred amongst you with respect to intoxicants. وَالْمَيْسِرِ and maysir, that is gambling. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَالْأَنْتُمُ مُنْتَهُونَ. And he wants to turn you away from the remembrance of Allah and as-salah. He does not want you to pray. He does not want you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْهَلْتُ مُنْتَهُونَ. So go away from it. So and that's why I said earlier that scholars, they consider maysir to be something wider than you just putting bets on something or something that involves competition. Sometimes there may not be competition. You may be playing a game on your own. for instance, and the game can take much of your time that you can spend time without remembering that you have to pray Salah. Such a game becomes what? Massive. As Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala explained. So this is the second condition. The first condition, as I've mentioned, there must be consent of the two parties involved. Unless if one of the parties is forced to sell it for a genuine reason in the Sharia, like when the authorities are forcing somebody to sell his item because he has become bankrupt and is indebted to a lot of people, and they have to watch, they have to offset his debts. So they have to force him to sell some of his property. So this is permissible in the Sharia. But the basis is that no, somebody who is selling his property must do that and read up. That is, he must be pleased with. That if you be the one to sell willingly, not that somebody is forcing him. That is the basis. But as you said, there may be a situation like this. The second thing is that the commodity, there mustn't be what? Gharar in it. If there is gharar, then it is haram. If there is gharar, then it is haram. Now, the third condition, وَأَنْ يَكُونَ الْعَاقِدُ مَالِكًا لِلشَّيْءِ أَوْ مَعْذُونًا لَهُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ بَالِغٌ رَشِيدٌ. The one who is going to enter into a contract of selling a particular thing must be the owner of that thing. The one who wants to buy a particular thing must be the owner of that thing that he wants to use to buy. أَوْ مَعْذُونًا لَهُ فِيهِ, or somebody who is allowed, is permitted by the owner to sell or to buy with it. Is permitted by the owner to sell or buy with it. So it is wrong for you to sell another person's property. The property that is not yours, when you sell it, the sale is not what is not acceptable. It does not hold, it doesn't count. So if it goes to Sharia court, for instance, what you have sold, since you are not the owner of that thing, it does not hold. It doesn't hold. So the property will be returned to the owner because you have transgressed by selling another person's property. And if you take another person's word to buy something from another person, and the owner of that money has not allowed you to use his money to buy, so if this gets to the court, the money will be returned to the owner because you have used the money that does not belong to you to buy. You have used the money that doesn't belong to you to buy. So the one that is going to sell a thing must be the owner of that thing. He must be the owner of that thing. So who are Baligun Rashid? He must be somebody who has attained the age of Bulugh, somebody who can discern, who has understanding. So this is also what? An important point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاءَ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. He also said, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't give the sufaha. Take for instance, you are in charge of the wealth of an orphan, for instance. An orphan, that is somebody who has lost his father, is called al-yatim. It's called al-yatim, the one who has lost his father, even if his mother is alive. The one who has lost his father is called al-yatim in the Arabic language and in the Sharia. So the one who is in charge of the wealth of the orphan, is supposed to trade with the word, for instance, or keep the money in such a way that the money will not be lost, or the money will not be devoured by zakah, for instance. So this money, if the orphan says, you should bring, give me my money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Don't give the sufa'a your wealth. Allah say your wealth as if you are the owner, but you are not the owner. It is the orphan that own the money. But Allah wants you to keep the money, not to give it to them so that they won't squander the money, they will not spend the money lavishly. الَّتِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah says, you give them what they need. You give them, but for you to hand over the money to them, no, don't do that. وَقْسُوهُمْ, you clog them from it, but for you to hand over the money to them, no. So this is what the author is referring to, what? When it's a baligun rashid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what? وَطَلْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُ النِّكَاءَ. Try them. Try them. You will be giving them little, little money to engage in little transaction, small, small transaction. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُ النِّكَاءَ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا. When you see that what they have, you see in them the servant, then فَأَدْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ أَمْوَالَهُمْ, then you give them their wealth. So the person becomes what? جَائِزُ التَصَرُّفُ. جَائِزُ التَصَرُّفُ is somebody who has attained بُلُوغ, and who is what? Rashid. Somebody who has attained what? The age that he is free to conduct transaction on his own. We said there is exception. Exception is literally two things. The Sharia allowed them. Like a boy of 5, for instance, buying sweets, buying biscuits, and things like this. So he can do that, he can buy. The one who is selling biscuits can sell biscuits to a boy of 5, 6. Huh? This literally two things. But for a boy of 5 to want to buy something that is huge, a price, for instance, this, if the boy buys it, the transaction does not owe, because the boy is not jaiz tasarruf. It's not rashid. Because Allah said what? وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ لَتَجْعَلُوا اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah has said what? وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُم مِّنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. So if I thought they want to do something with little, little things. So the one who is jaiz tasarruf is somebody who owns a property. He owns it, or is allowed to do that. Now, if somebody who does not own a property sells the property, we said he doesn't owe. But if it is approved by the owner, then it owes. This is according to majority of the scholars. According to majority of the scholars. And this is buttressed by what one of the companions in passing of Urwat al-Bariqi, radiallahu anhu, did. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him on an errand to go and buy a sheep. He gave him a dinar. So when Urwat al-Bariqi got to the place that he would buy the sheep, he bought with one dinar two sheep. On his way back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sold one of the two sheep with one dinar. So, and he got to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with one dinar and one sheep. Meaning, he profited 100%. He got a profit of 100%. And that's why scholars say there is no limit to the profit that you can get. You can profit 100% Islamically. But your advice to be lenient with people. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ سَمْحًا إِذَا بَعَ وَإِذَا اقْتَدَى وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى. May Allah be merciful with somebody that is lenient to the people is a ba'ah. When he's selling to people, whether shtara, and when he's buying, whether qtada, and when he's also requesting is the debts that people are owing him. So this tells us that you can make 100% profit from a thing, which is good for you to be lenient with people. So Urwat al-Bariqi made 100% profit. So he returned the dinar given to him by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to the Messenger of Allah, and he also gave him the sheep. So when he explained to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What barakallahu fiqh wa fidaik. May Allah bless you and bless your transaction." It was said that Urwat al-Bariqi, if you were to gather sand to say, "I want to sell it," somebody will come to buy it from him because of the supplication of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, as you said, if this is approved by the owner of the thing, it is permissible. Somebody says, your car, for instance, in your absence. The basis is that sale does not owe, doesn't count. But if you come and you approve it, then it counts. It counts. So, and that is why it is important to know these principles, that the one who does not have a thing doesn't sell it, unless if it is approved by the owner. Two, that the one who has not reached the age of the servant is not allowed to engage in whose transaction. You say whose transaction? Because literally to transaction, this is permissible. And this can be understood from the verse, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ. You test the yatama, the orphans. That is by asking them to buy little things. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ. So when they reach marriageable age, فَإِنْ آنَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا. When you see that what they have they are now, they reach the age of rushd, then in that case, then فَتْفَعِلِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. Then you can hand over to them their wealth. You can hand over their wealth to them. So if they've not reached marriageable age, or they've not reached the age of the cement, you can see the cement in them, in that case you don't hand over to them their wealth. And you don't, when they engage in what, in which transaction, the transaction is not valid. The transaction is not valid. Because they are not people that are washidun, so to say. So in that case, you don't allow them to transact except in little things, with which you tie them till you feel or you know that they have been able to stand on their own. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says this. So أن يكون العاقد مالكا للشيء أو معذونا فيه وهو بالغ رشيد. So these are three conditions mentioned first. Now, something that you don't own, you don't sell. This is very, very important. As we shall explain when we are talking about some of the contemporary financial transactions. What you don't have, you don't sell. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hakim bin Hizam, لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. Don't sell what is not with you. And here there are a lot of transactions today that fall under this, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against. Think, for instance, somebody who is a supplier and you want to supply people, you are selling an item that you do not have in your store. You don't who sell the item. You sell it to people. This is wrong. So for it to be permissible, you have to follow some of the ways that are laid down. So the other alternatives, like what is called drop shipping, for instance, you just contact a manufacturer, for instance, you want them to go and deliver something to another person. Huh? This does not hold, because you are selling what you do not have. So is it that the manufacturer delivers the item that you have requested for? They deliver it to you. Then you can deliver, you can watch, you can now deliver it to the one who has watched, who has bought it from you. But for you to tell them to go and watch, deliver it to the person who has bought it without you taking the owner or the delivery of that thing first, this is selling what you do not possess. So in that case, what you can do is either you act as an agent for the manufacturer. You are selling on behalf of what of the manufacturer. So this may go. Or you take the possession. But for you to watch, collect money from people, and you ask the manufacturer to go and deliver, the manufacturer hasn't delivered the commodity to you first. So you have to take possession of the item that you have bought from the manufacturer before you can now sell it to another person. So this, inshallah, we are still going to talk about things like this. So you have to own what you want to sell. You take possession of what you want to sell. This also falls in what they call the al-murabaha lil-amir al-shira, where somebody goes to the bank and he says, I need a car, for instance. And the bank doesn't have the car. So the bank will enter into an agreement with the interested buyer. So they want to sell the car to him on credit. He will have to enter into an agreement that if they bring the car, he must buy it. Now the bank is selling, is sealing a contract on a commodity that he doesn't have. This is what Biru ma laysa indaha. Biru ma laysa indaha is selling what he does not possess. So a lot of things fall under this Biru ma laysa indaha, and which could result to something of riba, as we shall explain when we are talking about some of these contemporary financial transaction. So inshallah, we are going to stop at this third condition. So we continue with the fourth condition that the author mentions. So inshallah, in details we are going to touch some of these contemporary transactions that a lot of people are falling into today, either mistakenly or some people because they are interested in just making money, disregarding the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this question says, Assalamu alaikum Sai, is it compulsory that you inform people of the amount you bought goods you are trying to sell to justify the amount you want to sell or justify the profit you intend to make? It is not compulsory, you tell them, but it is permissible to do that. So in the past, there is something they call Bayul Murabaha, which is not the same thing exactly with the Bayul Murabaha that they have today. Bayul Murabaha in the past is that you tell the intended buyer that this commodity, I bought it, take for instance, for 20,000 naira, and I want to sell it to you at 21,000 naira. I want to sell it to you for 21,000 naira. So you have explained to the person that you are only making a profit of 1,000 naira. This is called Bayul Murabaha. In the past, when you open the book of Bayul, with respect to the scholars of the past, when they talk about Bayul Murabaha, this is what they are referring to, not the contemporary usage of the word bil murabaha. In a contemporary time, when they say bil murabaha, is when somebody goes to a financial institution, for instance, wanting them to buy something and sell to him on credit. But they don't have that thing, so they will buy. So, but you will have to sign a contract with them that if they bring it, he's going to buy it. So this is what they call the murabaha in the present time, cost plus financing. So however, we are still going to talk about that. So bil murabaha, for you to say, I buy this commodity for so and so price, and I'm going to sell it for so and so price. So letting the person know that this is a profit. This is permissible. This is permissible. So there are other ones that is like, there is what is called bil wadi'a. Bil wadi'a is when you buy something, take for instance for 20,000 naira and you sell it for 19,000 naira, meaning you are losing. But you let the buyer know that you are losing. That this thing, I bought it for 20,000 naira, but I'm selling at 19,000 naira. This is called bil wadi'a. That's what is called bil talji'a. Bil talji'a, this is when you sell at the same price that you have bought. So all these three that I've mentioned, they call them bil amana. That is the transaction of what? Of trust. Because in this case, you are what? You are telling the buyer the truth. And that's why somebody who is doing this must remember the day we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of our brothers who behave or who do that, wallahi, Ibawara, 85 naira, 9200, buy from us, we are only going to get 5 naira. And maybe they are going to get more than that. But in order to make the buyer buy it, because when the buyer hears that they are going to watch benefit or they are going to profit just 5 naira, you say, no, they've not made much profit in this, let me buy something. So this is bil amana. So which is what? Which is wrong for one to deceive people with it. But as I said, it is not compulsory on you to tell people that this is the amount that you are profiting from a commodity. So you can profit as much as 100%, but Islam encourages you to be lenient with people, particularly when people are in distress. Like when there is scarcity of a thing, then you are trying to you are trying to make money out of the scarcity of that, and people are in need of it. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What la yahtakiru illa khati'un." Nobody will be ordering commodity, not releasing it for people. When people are in need of the commodity, is ordering it, particularly when it has to do with foodstuff. Illa khati'un, except a sinful person. So when people are not in need of it, you can sell and make profit as much as possible, but you are still advised to be lenient with people. Allah a'lam. Now another question. In the case of agency, is it a condition that the agent must take possession of the item? Is it a condition that the agent must take possession of the item? It is not a condition, because the agent is only representing the principal. So if the agent sells, it's like it's a principal that is selling. So they can just, once the money is paid to the agent, for instance, the agent can tell the principal to just deliver the commodity to the buyer. So those practicing dropshipping, this is one of the ways they can do. They can employ this method of being agents to the principals, rather than what selling to the buyer without having the commodity with them. So without having the commodity with them at the time they are selling, and they will not take the possession of the commodity when they buy from the manufacturer or from the other buyer. So they won't take the possession. They just ask the from the other seller rather. They just ask the principal or the manufacturer or the other seller to transfer direct or deliver the goods direct to the third party. So this is what you say is wrong. So Allah. So inshallah we stop here. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآل وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.